Hi there and welcome to Garden Church Podcast. We're excited that you've tuned in to hear a message from one of our team. I know that you'll be encouraged in your faith and challenged to live for God. We pray that you'll encounter Jesus in new and fresh ways as you listen to this podcast. God has got something great for you.
We've got something really special set aside for you this morning and the next week. The next 2 weeks, we are starting a series called Homegrown, and we're going to be hearing from a panel of speakers this morning. There's three of us. I'm going to say there's three young people, but it's including me, so I take the average up a little bit. But we've got a couple of young guns that are going to be sharing the word of God this morning, which is awesome. So before I even introduce them and I get them up here, I want you to be encouraging them. You can be hollering at them. You can be shouting down from the front row. Youth team, if you recognize the crew up on stage, want you to be cheering for them. Benny, got it? So good. And let's be encouraging them. So I'll introduce you. This is how it's going to work. We're just going to go rapid fire. We've got about 5 minutes each. So we'll be up here. We'll be blasting you with the word of God. You'll be cheering them on one after the other. I'll come up at the end and wrap it up. But I'll introduce them to you. This lady is part of our garden youth team. If you know her, you know her to be full of energy, full of passion. She is recently married to Mr. John Johansson. Yes, I am speaking of Maddie Johansson. Now, there's a saying, Maddie, I heard there's a saying going around at youth. I heard someone say it goes something like this. It's like, we just need that Maddie energy. We just need that Maddie energy. So if you know Maddie, you know that she's just full of beans. She's full of life, and she's going to let it rip in just a moment. But before we get to Maddie, I'm going to bring up our first speaker this morning. Word on the street is that he is Pacific Coast Christian School's heartthrob. I don't know about that, but I can relate, man. But Mr. Hunter Wilkinson, why don't you come up onto the stage, mate?
Get it, bro.
Good morning, church. How are we going?
That's good.
If you don't know me, my name's Hunter Wilkinson, and I'm 15 years old. Early this week, Pastor Jono asked me if I would like to share the message on the blank of God. So I decided to share on what I learned about the generosity of God. I went to Fiji in October last year. It was an amazing experience to see what it's like to not have the luxuries we do in Australia. Our host names were Joseph and Mary, believe it or not. And they are the two nicest people I've ever met. They stayed in a small shed with just a kitchen, lounge room, and one bedroom. Somehow, they managed to fit 10 family members in that small space. They really didn't have much. Most of the time, they wore the same clothes that they wore the previous days. But yet, they still fed us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if Casey's here and my mum, that's a very hard thing to do, is feed me. After spending a couple of days going to schools and widow refuge camps, I start to realise that the generosity of God is so strong in their family. That family taught me that even though they had little, they still demonstrated the generosity of God. Another way I experienced the generosity of God is how I actually got to Fiji. As soon as I heard of a missions trip to Fiji, I knew it was an experience I definitely wanted to be a part of. I knew it would be no easy effort to get me there financially. We set out to start a fundraiser to find the money I needed for the trip. This started off as no easy feat. We had a lot of fundraising ideas, but never seemed to plan or organize them. It never seemed to work out. As we got closer to the financial cutoff, someone recommended connecting to Rotary. With the help of Eve Cray, she got me an opportunity to speak in front of the Rotary committee to find some help. And help is what we got. God used them so generously to bless me with more than half the money we needed for the trip. I also had several school teachers who had heard about me going on the mission trip, so they wanted to help get me there. In all these experiences, God's demonstrated to me that this abundant generosity towards these people, just like it says in Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I want to leave you today with a question. Are you thankful for what God has given you already? More often than not, we get caught up in the things we want or need instead of appreciating the things we already have. Thank you for listening. I'd like to welcome up Maddie Johansson.
Hello. Ooh. If I'm sweaty, I'm not nervous, I'm just pregnant. So today, God's been really speaking to me about the strength of God. And I will be reading from Ephesians 6:10, the armor of God. But first, I just want to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking through me today and just for opening people's hearts to receive this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after that, after you have done everything to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the gospel, with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wow. So, in life, we just experience roadblocks sometimes, and that can be with our family, in our marriages, with our children. I'm yet to experience that. And we can try and put on the whole armor of God to deal with those situations, but if we don't first, like in Ephesians right at the start, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and then put on the full armor of God, we will think we're doing it in our own strength. So to have a strong relationship with God, pray. Be intentional with your prayer. Be intentional with your worship. Be intentional with your time with God. Understand his sovereignty. Understand what he's already delivered you from. And understand the gospel. Understand what Christ did on the cross for you, that he'd already defeated sin and death, and he defeated every fiery dart the enemy's already thrown at you, and he's already defeated this situation for you. When you are in those moments of prayer with God, like just pray for his peace, pray for his protection, pray for his guidance, pray for him to fix the problem. In Mark 11:24, it says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Know we have the victory before we have the problem. That's my message.
How good are those guys? Well done, Maddie. Well done, Hunter. I definitely couldn't have spoken like that when I was your age. Did good. Well done, guys. It's actually quite tricky to, when surveying the attributes of God, to pick one to speak on because there's so many. He's so good. Can you have a favorite? Yeah? Pastor Barb, is that allowed to have a favorite attribute of God? An aspect of God that has captivated my heart and that actually continually shows up in my life, it throws me off my routine sometimes. It shows up in my times of thanksgiving and in my times of devotion to God. I'm often finding myself thanking him for this particular thing. It disrupts my kind of consumer transaction-based life, and it just shows up. And I'm so thankful for it. It's the grace of God. You might have heard an old timer say the statement, "Where would I be without the grace of God?" I'd be the first person to put my hand up and be like, "Yeah, that's me. I don't know where I would be without the grace of God." I shudder to think where I would be without the grace of God. Can you apply that to your situation? Where would you be? You could be living in Brisbane. I don't know why Brisbane gets ragged out so much. Ipswich of all places. I'm kidding. But the grace of God, he's so generous in giving his grace. He's a gracious God. He's so loving in that way. See, grace is the thing that I crave the most when my guilt is exposed. When I know that I've done the wrong thing, when I know that I've fallen short of what God's standard is, guilt is the thing that I turn to most and I crave it. On the flip side, it's also the very thing that I'm hesitant to extend to someone else when their guilt is exposed. Isn't that funny? I'm keen for it, but not keen to dish it out when needed, particularly when that guilt or that wrongdoing is against me. It's even harder to extend grace. So we see that in some way grace is a struggle. To say that somebody deserves grace is actually a contradiction, because you can't earn grace. You can't do something in order to earn grace. It is a gift from God. I've heard it said like this, that grace and mercy, the grace and mercy of God are quite linked and they work together. The statement goes like this: grace is getting what we don't deserve, whereas mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So they work hand in hand. God is so gracious to us that he gives us what we don't deserve. We couldn't earn it. It's a gift. But it's first his mercy. He holds back. He's just and a holy and a righteous God, and he holds back the things that we do deserve. I would not want to think what my life of sin would have earned me in the eyes of God, but instead he gives me mercy and he extends his grace toward me, and that's for you this morning, church. So what do the scriptures say about the grace of God? I'm going to rapid fire a few scriptures that have spoken to me about the grace of God, and we're going to pull from it what we can. So let's start in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." There's that idea again that grace is not something earned. You can't work your way and achieve something that will grant you the grace of God. It is a gift from him. God's grace is a grace that saves. I'm so thankful for God's saving grace this morning. You may be in this room this morning and I may be reminding you of something you learned a long time ago. I may be reminding you of a truth that you already know. You may be in this room and I might be introducing you to the grace of God this morning. Either which way, we can't earn it. You didn't save yourself, Christian. It was the grace of God that led you to salvation. What does it say? "For by grace you have been saved through faith." This is not our own doing. So thankful that God first pursued me. He was chasing after me. I've heard it said that the human heart is not even willing to receive salvation. It's a miracle of the Holy Spirit coming within us and turning us toward him. So if I'm introducing you to the grace of God this morning, I want to pray with you in a little moment, because it is the grace of God that saves us. Cool. I'll keep going. We'll keep rapid fire. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "But he said to me," this is Paul writing, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest in me." Can I speak that over you this morning, Garden Church? God's grace is sufficient for you. No matter where you are on your journey this morning, God's grace is enough. It's enough for you. It's sufficient. It's good news for us. It's good news. Can I speak that over you this morning, church, whatever your situation? You who don't feel good enough, God's grace is enough for you. Young person, God's grace is enough for your situation. For those of you who have habitual sin in your life, God's grace wants to meet you there this morning. Those who struggle to keep their temper in check, God's grace is sufficient for you. Can I say this? No one is too far gone. No one is too far outside of the reach of the grace of God this morning. If you want to give thanks, go for it. If you're thankful that you aren't out of reach of God this morning, He wants to reach you where you are. Matter of fact, God's grace wants to show up right where you are this morning. All right, next scripture, Romans 5, 20 and 21. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good news, church, where there is sin, God's grace abounds even more, even more. See, grace is a catalyst that can propel us from a life of sin. It can propel us and turn us to right living, turn us towards Jesus. Matter of fact, it should be the springboard. It should be the thing that draws us away from sin and turns us back to facing God and walking towards Him. Can I just speak to this notion just for a moment? I feel like it could be a modern thought, or it might be something that our generation has to deal with. But grace isn't sloppy, right? It's not like a Band-Aid that you just stick on your sin and God just excuses it and looks over it. God's grace isn't weak in that way. I think it's sometimes it can be treated as a bit of a commodity, like, yeah, doesn't really matter how I live because I know the grace of God will kind of just cover it all. I think that's a gross misunderstanding of the grace of God. And I think it's only human nature that we go there in our minds. I put my hand up and say I've been there in my thinking that, yeah, God's grace, it will cover that. But although it does, it shouldn't be how we use grace. It shouldn't be, we shouldn't feel an entitlement to live however we want, knowing that God's grace will meet us where we are. Where there is sin, grace is there also, and it propels us into right living. So wherever you find yourself this morning, let grace, I pray that there would be a fresh revelation of the grace of God in your life, that yes, it's brought you to where you are today, and let it propel you away from things in your life that are taking you away from God. Let it turn you, let it be the springboard that launches you into, what does it say in that scripture? Right living, righteous living. Grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let grace turn you back to Jesus this morning. Amen. I pray that is a revelation that drops into your spirit today, church. Last one, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What I got from that is that God's grace is a grace that sees you. He sees you where you are this morning. I love that. It's actually quite a meaty concept to grasp. I still don't get it fully, but Jesus is fully man and fully divine. And I think, if I'm honest, in my previous ways of thinking, I'm like, yeah, of course he didn't sin. He was the Son of God. He was above all of that. But no, it's not what the scriptures say. He was fully man, tempted in every way that we have. I think we can identify with Jesus, the man. He's been through what you've been through, and he's defeated it. He's been tempted by what you've been tempted by. He's been abandoned. He's had relationship issues to walk through. He's had everything thrown at him, and yet he remained sinless. And so I want you to grasp that understanding that Jesus, the man, has been through what you've been through, and he understands. And that's how he can have grace for your situation this morning. God's grace is the grace that sees. I love that. In John 1, I don't have the scripture up there, but it speaks about, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and speaking about Jesus, and it begins to describe him. In John 1:14, it says, Jesus is full of grace and truth. So here we move from speaking about a concept, an attribute of God, and we see the personification, that we see a person who is full of grace and truth. I want you, when you think of grace, to think of Jesus. He is the one that is full of grace. He's let grace be the thing that leads you to him. In John 1:16, it goes on and says, from his fullness, this is John describing Jesus, from his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. We have received grace upon grace. That's what I pray for you this morning, Garden Church, is that grace would lead you to Jesus. In your devotional time, in your quiet time with the Lord this week, let the grace of God just flood your heart. Matter of fact, today, let this fresh revelation of the grace of God rest upon your heart. Let it turn your heart to Jesus. Let it lead you to the one who is the gracious one. Jesus, the gracious one, full of grace, full of truth. He wants to meet you where you are this morning. If you want to respond, why don't you stand to your feet? When we get the creative team back here, I want to pray over you this morning, church. The grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lead me to pray now, Holy Spirit. Can I pray over you, church? Would you close your eyes and raise your hands in this place? God, we're so thankful for your goodness this morning. We heard of your generosity towards us. We thank you for your strength that enables us to walk through this life, to do what we're called to do. We thank you for your grace this morning. Lord Jesus, I ask right now for your grace to come and rest upon hearts in this place in a fresh and new way, Lord God. Come and meet us where we are, Lord Jesus, I pray. Every situation, Lord God, every heart in this room, every ear that is hearing my voice, Lord Jesus, I ask for your grace to come and rest upon them. You're not too far gone, friend. You're not too far gone. You're not outside of the boundaries of God's grace. His boundless grace wants to meet you where you are this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Ephesians 2:8, verse 9, for by grace you have been saved. I ask for saving grace to come into this room right now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Church, would you be praying right now for the grace of God to be coming into this room by the power of his Holy Spirit? Let it minister to those who are being introduced to the grace of God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, why don't we lift our voice? Come on, begin to pray, church. Pray for the grace of God to be moving in this room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come and rest upon us, Lord. You can keep your eyes closed, but just listen to my voice for a second. If this concept of the grace of God that saves you is new to you, if you're feeling propelled towards this person, Jesus, that I've been speaking of, if you're feeling a tugging on your heart this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to connect with him. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So with every eye closed and head bowed, I'm going to pray a prayer. And would you pray this prayer after me, church? Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this prayer. I really do have a sense that the grace of God is tugging on hearts this morning. He's calling you who thought you were not good enough, you who thought you were too far gone. The grace of God is calling you back. You may be returning to Jesus. You may be wanting to start a relationship with him. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you that your grace saves me. I thank you, Jesus, that you are full of grace. And through your name, I can be saved. Jesus, I let you in to my heart right now. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. In your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
How good was that message? I know that you would have been blessed. Garden Church is a flourishing, life-giving church based on the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. We have a passionate commitment to see you make a difference in your world, thrive in community, and most importantly, connect you to Jesus. Visit our website, gardenchurch.com, for more details of ministries, our heart, and even some great resources to empower your life. Be blessed. Go and be life-giving. Thank you.